Welcome to the Qatar Navigation Q1 2022 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Bobby Sarkar. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sergei. Hi. Hello, everyone. This is Bobby Sarkar, Head of Research at QNB Financial Services. I wanted to welcome everyone to Qatar Navigation's or Milaha's first quarter 2022 results conference call. On this call, we have Akram Iswaisi, who's the EVP of Finance and Investments, and Sami Shtayyeh, who's the VP of Financial Planning and Analysis. We will conduct this conference call first with management reviewing the company's results, followed by a brief Q&A. I would like to turn the call over now to Akram. Akram, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for joining Milaha's first quarterly earnings call for 2022 and your interest in the company. As usual, I will start with our consolidated financial results and then dive into the segment results. After that, I'll turn it over to Sami to go over our outlook, and we will end the call with questions and answers. Key highlights of our financial results. Milaha's operating revenue came in at 913 million for the first quarter of 2022, compared with 675 million for the same period in 2021, for an increase of 35%. Operating profit came in at 194 million for the first quarter of 2022, compared with 131 million for the same period in 2021, for an increase of 48%. Net profit for the first quarter of 2022 was 360 million, compared with 297 million for the same period in 2021, for an increase of 21%. Lastly, our earnings per share was 0.32 riyals for the first quarter of 2022, compared with 0.26 riyals for the same period in 2021. Now on to our business segments, starting with Maritime & Logistics. This segment had one of its best performing quarters in recent times, led primarily by continued strong container shipping rates. Top line revenue increased by 53% or 126 million, with variable expenses flowing very much in line with the resulting in an operating profit increase of 57 million. To a lesser degree, our logistics business also picked up as a result of increased volumes and jobs. At the non-operating level, we had a drop of 12 million coming primarily from our Q Terminals joint arrangement. All in all, we ended the quarter up 180% in net profit of 46 million. Moving on to offshore. Similar to Maritime & Logistics, operating revenue soared by 52% or 99 million versus the same period in 2021. We had more vessel capacity from third-party chartered in vessels, the employment of our lift boat, which was idle last year, and additional project work in our dive-in unit drove the increase in revenue. With respect to operating expenses, however, increased by 95 million, which ate into the top line growth. We faced multiple COVID-instigated issues in Q1 of 2022 that not only added costs, but in fact inhibited further revenue growth. Overall, operating profit grew 16 million, and net profit increased from 3 million to 8 million for Q1 in 2022. As for gas and petchem, the performance can be summed up in two parts. On the operational side, we saw a decrease of 11 million in operating revenue versus the same period in 2021, but an even larger decrease of 18 million expenses, and that is attributable to us selling two tankers last year and converting the third to an FSO. Those tankers performed poorly last year due to near record low shipping rates in the tanker market, and the divestment helped us boost our operating profit from 50 million to 23 million. On the non-operating level, income increased by 14 million, with 29 million additional coming from Nakilat and, you know, slightly reduced by 60 million coming from our VLGC joint venture, Gulf LPG. That's attributable primarily to lower shipping rates. Net profit for the segment ended up 21 million from 143 million to 164 million. Moving on to our trading segment. 8% decrease in revenue coming mainly from our bunker sales unit, which negatively impacted the bottom line. and bottom line went from a negative $1 million in 21 to negative $2 million in 2022. And lastly, Milaha Capital investment income increased by $11 million, and real estate increased by $5 million, coming from the villa compound, which was rented out in Q3 of 21. However, both were offset by a $16 million bad debt provision. And basically, that wraps up the segments. And I will now turn it over to Sami, who will discuss the outlook for the rest of the year. Sami?
Thank you, Akram. Starting with maritime and logistics, we expect the strong shipping rates to continue through at least mid-2022, but we have begun to see signs of rate pullback. How fast that pullback happens, particularly in the routes we operate, is difficult to predict. In logistics, we expect uplift in warehousing and freight forwarding activities from new global network partnerships, as well as work related to the North Field expansion. In offshore, on the vessel side, we expect improvement in financial performance due to deployment of vessels that were under maintenance in the first quarter. On the services side, we also expect further scaling up in specialized subsea services and maintenance modification and operations, and thus improvement in that area as well. And in harbor, we don't expect any major deviations in performance from what we witnessed in Q1. In gas and petrochem, the performance of the majority of our operating business units are fairly predictable due to the long-term nature of contracts. We will be having one scheduled dry docking for one LNG vessel, but aside from that, we expect no major deviations. On the non-operating side, our VLGC JV is difficult to predict as rates are exposed to very volatile spot prices. In trading, we remain cautiously optimistic on growth in the ship chandlering space and improving operating margins across the board. And lastly, onto capital. On the investment front, we will continue to focus on yield enhancement. And in real estate, we will continue to see through the third quarter of this year the positive year-over-year impact of the villa compound that was rented out in Q3 of last year. And with that, we'll now open up for questions and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. And please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. There are currently no questions in the queue, and as a reminder, to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. Now, first question comes from Nihil Putane from CBFR.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the presentation. It was wonderful. I would just like to know, in terms of your offshore, in which you mentioned about, you know, support vessels, which is going to be adding up, how much, you know, revenue increase do you see in this offshore business? And, of course, on your expenses, will you going to be seeing a decrease, which has largely been, you know, part of your maintenance, other things? So, overall, just wanted to get an idea in terms of revenues and operating profit, please.
I'm sorry, the question, can you repeat the question? You're asking what were our results for the segment, or what is the outlook of the segment?
We just would like to know the trend. Sorry, we just like to know the trend on your offshore business in terms of your overall, you know, revenue business. I mean, given the fact that you mentioned about some support vessels, which is going to be adding up, and also in terms of, you know, expenses, which had been quite high relatively in terms of your revenues. So will you see a drop down in that in second quarter?
I think the outlook for Halul or offshore is promising. You know, we're winning a lot of contracts. Q1, you know, the projections were Q1 actually were higher than results. I mean, we got impacted by, as was alluded to, just operational issues. And, you know, we have a pipeline of projects. The lift boat that was idle last year is working. So a lot of the assets now are working. And so, you know, we have a much more optimistic view on Halul's performance for the rest of the year. So aside from the outlook for the sector overall, the sector in general, is much more promising than it was before, you know, on the back of, you know, strong oil prices, if you will. And so from our perspective, you know, optimistic on the sector, but Halul, again, you know, it's much more promising for the rest of the year than it has been, you know, last year, if you will. And so this quarter, you know, we have positive earnings, but it's not where we wanted it to be, but we're much more optimistic that the trend will look better in subsequent quarters.
Okay. Fine. You can't, I mean, you can't push a number on the revenue type likely for the second quarter?
We can. I mean, if you look at the revenues are, I mean, again, revenues have gone up, you know, significantly. We're focused now on, you know, optimizing costs and improving, you know, margins much, much more. So we are picking up a lot of contracts. So a big part of this now is how do we continue to optimize margin? I can't give you an exact number.
Okay. Thank you. And apart from that, on terms of your LNG, you mentioned about docking of one, you know, LNG vessel, which is going to be there largely. So will that impact on your LNG, you know, revenues? Can we have some color on it?
Yeah, I can take that. It will have an impact, but it's not a major impact. I just wanted to give you as much information and be as transparent as possible, but nothing major that's going to throw the segment off.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Wei Chou, Qatar Insurance Company. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for the call. Hi. Just have two questions. The first one is on the capital segment. Just wondering where the non-operating income was down by $4 million. Oh, sorry. There was a bad debt provision of $16 million. I'm sorry, and I'm just wondering where that is coming from. And the second question is on the maritime segment, where the non-operating income was down $12 million. So could you just provide us some color on that?
Yeah, sure. The impairment, the bad debt we took, we had some legacy investments, you know, from a number of years ago. We sold some of these investments, and part of the sale was a contingent, you know, part of the price was contingent about achieving certain milestones. Some of these investments were in shipping sector. And so, you know, so it was cash plus contingent payments based on achieving certain milestones, and these investments were in the shipping space, and based on the outlook of that specific segment, we're cautiously optimistic about the payments, but we have doubts on the ability of Milaha to collect these contingent payments. So that's why we took a bad debt on that.
Yeah, and on the second
Hello?
Question is on the maritime. Hi.
What's the question?
And on the second question on maritime, the non-operating income was down by $12 million, which is coming from the Q Terminus joint arrangement. Could you just provide us some color on that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Q Terminals is currently making investments. And it has an expansion strategy, an aggressive expansion strategy, and it's making investments, you know, throughout the world. And so, you know, as part of that, there is some, you know, some initial investments that you have to make to ramp up for that growth. So as a result, you know, Q Terminals was impacted slightly in terms of some of their admin expenses and operating expenses because they're building up and beefing up their team. And obviously, you know, as they make investments, there are certain costs that they have to incur as a result of these making these investments. So in terms of volumes, you know, if you look at the volumes are still healthy, but where, you know, they got impact slightly is mostly on expenses tied to growth initiatives or building up the organization, which is really expected
okay,
when you have a company like this that's still really in a growth mode, right?
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, and we're going to move now to our next question from Mustafa Amir from Al Rayan Investment. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you for the call. This is Shabir Kagalwala from Al Rayan Investments. I had a couple of questions, if I may. In the maritime and logistics segment, you mentioned about that there are higher shipping rates from the container shipping side of the business. In terms of outlook, are we expecting to see any pullback coming in from this rate? And the second question is on the bunkering volumes. So you've seen, sorry, if you can, go ahead, sorry, I will ask the bunkering later.
Let's answer one at a time, yeah. I think on the shipping rates, if you guys are tracking the global rates and the versus in, the various indices out there, you'll see that there is, we've reached a peak and now we're coming off that peak. We expect container shipping rates to moderate, start decreasing. We don't have a view on, what will the rates look like next quarter or the quarter after. But we expect that the rates will start coming down. They may not come down to pre-COVID levels, but they will come down. But generally, in terms of our segment, because we are a feeder, a shipping company, there's usually a lag between what you see, on the global arena, if you will, and what really then trickles down to us. But we do anticipate that rates will come down. From here on, basically, and towards the end of the year. By how much?
Right.
Difficult to predict. Again, that also depends on COVID. What happens with COVID, and if we start having, increasing COVID and port congestion and port lockdowns, then that has a, let's say, positive impact, if you will, on container rates. So again, other things being equal, we do see container rates coming down.
Okay, and in terms of the volume decline in the bunker sales, so is this because of you losing market share to some other players, or it's like the overall business is fallen? The market has fallen.
In terms of bunker, we are expanding. We're expanding our market share. We're growing. But it really depends on a variety of different factors. But the reality is, if you think about this business, it's a very, very thin margin business, right? So the impact on bottom line is, I would say, insignificant. It has a much bigger impact on top line, but the impact on the bottom line is insignificant. So it's more about the change of mix in our business and our client base. That's what it's about.
Right. And my final question on the logistics side, with the World Cup coming up, are we seeing improvement in the utilization of warehouses and the logistic business? What's the outlook, and what do you see from now till the end of the year?
Sure. But I want to emphasize something else on the bunker that is critical. Now, this business is strategic for us because we are building up our ship chandlering business. And so when you look at ship chandlering, these are services or portfolio of services that are offered to vessel owners and ship owners. So, bunker, lubricants are part of, a portfolio of offerings that we are offering as part of this ship chandlering platform that we launched last year. So even though the margins are thin, it's an enabler, and it's part of an offering that we have to provide to vessel owners. So just wanted to articulate that point just to make sure that it's clearly understood. Now, as it relates to, FIFA, our utilization, if you look at, during COVID, we picked up, our utilization went up significantly, and we've been able to pick up some large clients. So large clients were looking for a stable name, like Milaha. And so what has happened is over time, we have focused on profitability. And, in warehousing, again, it's about movement of inventory. So the more that we touch the product, whether it's stuff in value-add services, labeling, all these things, for us, the more we touch it, the more the inventory turns, the more that we make money. So we've made a conscious decision to focus on certain segments of the market that have higher margins, and therefore, you know, they contribute to our profitability. So, you know, and it's a conscious decision now. It's not about, you know, less, you know, so in other words, it, you know, it's not necessarily about just filling the warehouse. It's about filling the warehouse and achieving a much higher profitability. And so we've been able to change our client mix, and that's working quite well for us. And we've got a pipeline of clients, you know, on the back of a lot of the of FIFA activities that are coming on board, and we'll be boarding these clients the next few months.
Right. And with the competition catching up, do you expect margins to be diluted, or do you expect the margins to stay strong in the logistic business?
Well, when you say competition catching up, what do you mean, in warehousing or logistics overall?
Logistics overall, with warehousing in particular.
Well, I mean, listen, we...
Like in the sense that...
We have a bonded warehouse. I don't know of anyone else that has a bonded warehouse, any of the competition has a bonded warehouse in Qatar. And that gives us a competitive advantage. And so there's always been competition. You know, we've always competed with other players. And so, you know, we're trying to focus now on, you know, again, the margins, you know, the competition is fierce. There are players in the market. There's always been competition. But we do have a competitive advantage. Like I said, you know, we have a bonded warehouse. We're more embedded in the shipping value chain, owning a container shipping company, being able to provide bundled services rather than just one or two services. That gives us competitive advantage. And so we're really focused more on, you know, providing solutions to our clients and becoming much more value add. And so, you know, I think the name of the game has changed where, you know, in the past, I think the competition, there's plenty of business, and so it went around to everybody. Now it's about value creation, and we're really focused on how do we add value to our clients. Like I said, bonded warehouse gives us a very much competitive advantage, and we're beginning to see that, the value of that.
All right. Thank you. That's really helpful.
Yep.
That's all from my side.
Thank you, and it appears there are no further questions in the phone queue at this time.
Oh, okay, great. This is Bobby Sarkar again. So if there are no further questions, we can end the call for today. I want to take a moment to thank Akram and Sammy for taking the time to answer our questions, and we will pick this up next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. See you next quarter.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.